Let us move forward in our dissertation. Take your document out. If you don't have one, there are some, at least some excerpts on the back. Raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you receive one. We welcome those that are joining our ministry today through the webcast. Amen. And we ask that you also access this document if possible. Go to either our audio or our video sectors on our website, www.gracegospelministry.com or .org. Go to the audio or video link. There is the scripting. Repeat after me. Scripture distinction. Of what? Actualization in eternity from what? Manifestations in time. Amen. And when you see that scripting, if you click on it, this document will come up. It'll be very helpful. Now, we have been, and probably for a little longer, we'll be in this area of our dissertation that deals with relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
Say it again.
Relativism.
Basically, this is just how things relate.
Mm-hmm.
How do they relate? To God.
God.
Everything relates to God.
Yes.
We're into this section. Repeat after me. Physically conceptualized ontology. Which will succeed where we hopefully wind up in a few days. In, repeat after me, relativism.
Relativism.
In scripture ontology.
In scriptural ontology.
So we will conceptualize the essence of what is, which is not physical.
All right,
amen. And we would differentiate it from what we focus on, and that is spirituality. And many of God's people don't know what spirituality is. We think it is some mystical form of physicality. Amen. Spiritual is about God, all about God. God is spirit. And everything that we perceive in the physical sense is in essence physicality. To embrace spirituality, our focus has to be in God's word. In other words, the seeing is about physicality. God's saying is about spirituality. So God's word gives the definition of it. Now, we had moved to, and I want everybody to go again to the top of page 12. And Elder Liberman is our designated reader. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 this morning. And I'm going to reprise a few things. Pastor, didn't you do some reprising last week? It requires more reprising today. Amen. It's like the minister that went to a certain church as a visiting minister, and every time he'd come, he would preach the same thing. Amen. This is a little illustrated now. And he said, Pastor, not pastor, but minister, said, didn't you preach that last time you were here? He said, yep. He said, but every time I come up here and talk to the neighbor, I think I have to preach it again. Every time I talk to your neighbor, I think I have to preach it again. Amen. Here, as we deal with it, let's go to the top of page 12. Remember now, we had dealt with the essence of what the standard of a thing is. What is it that we focus on? Amen. what are the modes that determine what a thing is as opposed to the conjecture of what things are? Here at the top, it says, however, the center, top of page 12, everybody got it, amen?
Amen.
A standard of relativism must be securely established in reliability of what constitutes its anchor. In this light, the Word of God exhibits the exclusive reliable entity entrusted as consistently fail-safe, that which is not able to fail. Another humanistic cognitive relativism imbues linguistic relativism. So we talked about that before, the languages of how things are stated actually is what brings into conceptualization and thought of what a thing is based upon what they say it is. Okay? It averts that truth is formed in the grammatical and semantic systems of particular languages. And I'm not talking about dialects here. I'm talking about the actual scope of what is conveyed and expressed and such. And there are two basic scopes. One is physical, and the other one is spiritual. The physical is derived from the seen. The spiritual is derived from the same. Now, when you're looking at the particular language of the seeing, this idea in philosophy derives from, is instilled in the so-viewed independences of linguistics in the secular relativist theorists. In these views, the world really has no structure of its own except that structure which is entirely imposed by the configurations of human languages. So everything is conveyed and thought of and assessed and believed according to physicality of what we see.
Amen.
Problem with that is we keep running into roadblocks.
Yeah.
Even scientism. You know, they don't have the answer to it. Because they are focusing and trying to explain things that are not explainable in physicality. Some things are only explainable in spirituality. In other words, you won't get to the consummation or combination of the results of a thing through seeing. There's some things you won't be able to see your way through.
Amen.
Some things are only accessible through the same. And that's what Paul meant when he came back from having been stoned and left outside of Lystra, and he was caught up into the third heaven. And when he came back, he said, "I heard some things but I can't convey them to you." So why, Paul? He said, "Because I would have to depend upon the seeing, and it wasn't the seeing; it was the hearing." You notice that in the passage, he said, "I heard some things." In other words, God spoke to his mind because he couldn't use his what? He couldn't use his physical faculties to embrace and accept what God conveyed to him. In other words, Paul said, "I had to throw my human senses right out of the window." Thus, learning different languages or different ways of expressing things denotes, in effect, creating a world where absolutely everything is completely accessed as the prevailing census dictates. Hence, Different worldviews compete as the rules established in particular languages, as the majority, and we all do, we play this language game. Basically, that's it. We're indulging in physical, secular forms of life. And so we'll say this is this and that's that and the other, so forth and so on. And none of what we construe is the actual basis of fact. And we're going to go through Ephesians a few things this morning. It deals with that because mankind he plays this language game of ideology. What is ideology? Ideology is when you construe a thing based upon what you think fits your frame of existence in terms of what is best for you. And this is why you have different ideologies. So this is the best way to do a thing. Ideology is when you have not a clue of what it is, but you've got to, but you make up something to fill in the blank. In other words, you don't know the answer to something, and so you. I think of the joke of the little boy went to his dad, and because his dad seemingly, you know, always had the answer to everything, and he had some homework there, and he went to it, and his father said, "I don't know." He said, "Dad, you don't know." No, it's not you can't not you. You can't say you don't know. So the father say, "Well, if you insist, I can make up something." So if we can't get the answer, if you just need the answer, I give you the answer. But you know, we don't know causality why a certain thing happens. So scientism goes into this long explanation, basic of how the earth was created or formed. Now the scripture says, basically, everything, all things were created, what? In him, and through him. And for those whom God has called into his service, and who are the elect of God, and God has given eternal comprehension. That's enough. Otherwise, you've got to resort to ideology. You've got to say, so many billion years ago, a star, you don't know where the star came from, it exploded. And you end up with this dust and clouds, and the dust formed into rocks, and then the rocks formed into asteroids, and then the asteroids coalesced together, and some of the asteroids were iron, and it being heavier and more potent than the other asteroid, it melted down and formed the center core, because you know the center core of the earth is iron, and it formed the magnetic field and all the rocks and so forth and so on. And so now we're going through all of this, and everybody says, "Yeah, oh yeah, okay." There's no basis whatsoever for that. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is filling in the blank. All right? Linguistics theories have mostly superseded as the views that are universal. That is, structures common to languages. And so this is what everybody, not everybody, but many agree upon, because this is what those authoritative scientism has said. This communicates that even as languages prevail in etching secular constructs, such a never created in the reliability of reality beyond universally constant constraints. And after you go through all of that, you're going to draw a blank. We have been through this, but in that second paragraph, it says, philosophically, humanistic poles are still regarded by too many as the greatest relevancies, but creature theorists can't avoid stumbling into obvious breach in self-referential inconsistencies. Scripturally, the manifestly reflective nature of linguistics doesn't comprise the actual structure of the world as supposedly created by the structure in human languages. So that amen is not to be taken at face value because of the origin of it. So then where do we go? Hebrews 11:3 states, by faith, everybody said by faith, we understand the worlds have been prepared, and this is drawn from that translation, that Greek word that's actually means were and are created according to. So the ages were created according to, that is, by a saying of God. God said it. That's how it showed up. In regards to the things seen, and it's telling us, not coming out of things appearing. So don't look to amen, the philosophy of the things that are seen to draw out what's before you, what is revealed, the revelation. So it comes out of, if it doesn't come out of the seen, then where does it come? Well, it tells you. According to what? A saying of God. Period. All right? This verse conveys enlightened knowledge of the unseen as configured by and through God's, have the Greek word rhemati, saying, which is equal to his declaration or decree. In other words, what many have been taught is that God says a thing and then it pops up. No, God saying it is the same as the thing. His saying is synonymous to the thing. The only way it shows up is that God said it. Amen. So his saying, rhemati, having formulated solely everything that exists. Other than what is scripturally declared, all theories about the nature of such merely creations and linguistic principles whereof the world has an independent structure where whatever they say is just as true as whatever exists. We're not going to even fight them on that. We're going to keep our head in the book. Amen. Now, therefore, like every kind of relativism, no theory can protect itself from its own contradiction, nor can it avoid giving the impression of claiming for itself the very quality, objective, and truth that it denies exists apart from its mental pole. When we speak of mental pole, here we are talking about what is the reference point.
Amen.
When we look to ourselves, what do we have? Nothing. Amen. Nothing. When we speak to relativism, we must be talking about God.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
In the next paragraph, is a pastor, you've done a lot of reading, just stick with us this morning. God's decree formulates the sole principle of cognitive relativism, which chief interest imbues its consequences in eternal matters of value. Genuine relativism applies that truth of right, wrong, good, and evil, the beautiful and the horrid is solely relative and constructs divine moral relativism. This is why many things that are read in the scriptures and we don't understand. The other night, someone was stumbling and trying to explain Old Testament, and this is why I'm saying, don't go back there for doctrine, but amen. God said, go into the city, and he said, eliminate everything.
Everything.
And they were trying to somehow defend. God doesn't need any defense. Here, when we focus on time, we have very limited information of things that are actualized, where? In eternity. Death and life is one in the essence of the beginning and the end. And in manifestations, which are merely temporary depictions, you only get components of the actuality, not actuality itself. So we have to defend God, amen, in the essence of him having declared and decreed the components of his eternal workings. Now, this is inherently the more plausible presumption than the general cognitive relativism, as individuals disagree much more about matters of value than they do about matters in fact. In consideration about more abstract things like justice and goodness, and this is why, amen, you just cannot approach things from the basis of the seen. Follow this now. In consideration about more abstract things like justice and goodness, it is much more difficult even to chart what such is about than it is when chronicling things that are physical. In other words, you leave everything in time in the physicality realm of what's going on around you, the good will look bad. The incorruption, as we dealt last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 43 and 44, the corruption and incorruption was one and the same.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
In other words,
hallelujah.
You being lost and saved was one and the same. One same. But if you focus that in time, you're limited to what you see. You'll end up assessing a thing based upon what you see rather than what God has said about it, or what God has purposed of it.
Amen.
And that's why we should never say what is this but what?
Amen.
What is this for?
Thank God. Yes.
We look at it without sticking around to see what God is doing, has done with it. No, I'm just, you know, we draw a conclusion.
Yes, yes. That's it, yeah, amen.
Without the conclusive combination of it.
Thank God.
Example, you look at see what Joseph, thrown into the pit and, you know, sold into slavery and in prison and so forth and so on. And stick around.
Mm-hmm.
What came out of that? This is just in the physical.
Good.
Huh?
Good.
The feeding of two nations that would have starved.
That's right.
And that's just in the physical end.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, on the physical side, you will never get to the end point of God's purpose.
Amen. That's right.
And Paul prays three times to be healed. Three times. Lord said, my grace is sufficient. What? You just blew up the healing campaign. Because we're focused in time when the actuality is in eternity. And after Paul understood that, he said, I would much rather glory. Rather in what?
My
infirmities. And so, it is the knowledge and the comprehension of eternality that brings us into focus as to what things really are. And that is the essence of what realizing what life is, rather than fantasizing what we think it is.
Amen.
It is in the same, not the same. Pastor, I can't depend upon what my eyes and No. It's not about what I see. It's about what God has said. It's not about what I'm going to do with it. It's about what God has what?
Already.
It's already done with it.
Yes.
Follow this now. Materialized entities point to and assume that others perceive them, but invokes a much stronger task pointing to and perceiving what is not materialized. In other words, in the flesh, it is easier for me to resonate with what I see, touch, taste, feel, what's around me, than to go beyond that into the unseen.
Yes.
Yet the scriptures are teaching us what?
Don't.
We're not looking at 2 Corinthians 4:18. We're not looking at the seen, but what?
At the unseen.
The seen is temporary. The unseen is eternal.
Yes.
Nevertheless, moral relativism suffers from the same kind of self-representational paradoxes as cognitive relativism, even when such is divorced from cognitive relativism and placed in a world of so-called objective factual truths. In other words, you got to get out of the seeing business and move away from the language of seeing. This is what transpires in most modular forms, whether it is in moral relativism or cultural relativism. It can't be averred because there is no valid differentiation of them in scripture ontology. And what we're saying is when you look to the scriptures, you throw all of that out of the window.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. The first person you remove is yourself.
Ooh.
What I think, what I see, what I believe on, based on what I see. And we move into what God has said. Now, cultural relativism, as we say culture, we think about the things around us and what we think and what really is our culture? Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and 1. Elder, read that one verse from the King James, and then we go to Greek. Everybody has Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Okay, stop. I have no problem with how he has expressed that, but when we go into exegesis in the Greek, and we get the actual utterance, it's going to take us a little closer to the essence. What Paul is saying, and it actually, inconsistency ties into the context. Remember in verse, that is in chapter 3, Paul speaks of the dispensation of grace.
Yes.
And he speaks of my knowledge in the things of God, of those things God had revealed to him. And he goes to the essence of the intent, or the purpose of them. That from the beginning, all of the powers in the heavenlies, in expression of testimony, will be manifested or made known by the church, what the very wisdom of God is. So when we speak of the wisdom of God, we're into spirituality.
Yes, indeed.
We're not into physicality.
Amen.
You see, you cannot... Follow me now. You cannot explain spirituality with physicality. Two different languages. Yet, you can explain physicality with spirituality. But the Word of God goes a little further than that, as Paul says in another place, that you juxtapose or you compare what? Spiritual with what? With spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he said, natural man don't know the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're spiritually discerned, the things of God. No man knows the thoughts of another man except that spirit of that man within him. By the same token, no one knows the thoughts or the things of God except the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the job of the Holy Spirit, is what?
Mm-hmm.
To teach us.
Yeah.
Oh. To teach us what? What God is saying.
Amen.
That's the reason we come together weekly.
Come on, God, bring it up.
And that is for us to concentrate on what God has said.
Yeah.
It's about the same. Not the same. Life is in God's saying.
Yeah.
Not our saying. The essence of life is in one decree. This is why, as we have just alluded to there in the reading of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by saying of God, were and are created by one saying, the saying of God. So we want to know what things are. Why wouldn't we focus on the saying of God? But we're not able to discern that ourselves. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Is to enlighten us concerning the saying of God.
Amen.
What God has said.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everything is really about. What God has said. What God has decreed.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say relativism, we're saying as everything relates to God. And so we come in here and we focus on him,
mm-hmm,
in whom all things were created by saying.
Amen.
Since we get up here, we talk about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Talk about the God of our salvation.
Yes, yes.
We get through talking about that, what? It's time to go home. I don't mean we can't talk about other things, but I'm saying when we come here.
Come on here. Come on now.
And most of the time, y'all are not going to let me preach but an hour or less. So what we're into is an hour about Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Well, now, what? Paul said to those same Corinthians, now, when I come to you, I'm determined, the subject is about what? Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. Nothing else. Nothing except. Yeah, but we got troubles.
Come on.
And I understand what Pastor used to say. People said, Pastor, I'm having problems. So come on to Bible class. Mm-hmm. I said, what? Mm-hmm. That don't mean we don't counsel. But you know, when we counsel, we go through the same. And I said to anybody, you don't want to go through the same. You don't want me counseling you. In fact, I'm afraid to counsel you outside of this word. And we should get to the point where everything concerning our lives is a reflection of the same. And so, in this context here in verse 3, and having spoken to them as to who they are and what they're all about, the purpose of God, according to the purpose of God, according to the things of God, according to the eternal purpose.
Yes.
And I think that's what you brought up in the men's fellowship yesterday. Yeah. After we heard the testimony, we went to the scriptures and said, according to the purpose of God.
Amen.
So why did this happen? According to the purpose of God.
That's right. Amen.
Which means he purposed everything in ages. And so as he went down in that previous chapter, said, now my prayer is that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory.
Amen.
To be having been strengthened, and we dealt with this in some of our writings, by his might in the inner man.
Yes.
That Christ may dwell, having dwelled, in your hearts by faith, that you having been rooted and grounded in love. You may be having been able to comprehend breadth, the length. We dealt with those four, and the first one dealt with purpose. Know the love of Christ. Knowing. You see, if it's all this, it's passing knowledge. You see, all knowing. This is what this is all about. What is the solution to your problems? Knowing.
Hallelujah.
What is the answer to what you know? Knowing what? Knowing according to the fact that you may be having been filled with what? The fullness of the completion of God.
Glory to God. Amen.
That's double talk. No, it's not. The problem is we're dealing with physical languages when we should be dealing with spiritual languages. We're expressing things in physicality, which are only manifestations, and in many cases they're not reflections, they're refractions. So they're obscured. It's like being in a glass house. You ever been in an arcade and glass house? You look at yourself, but that's not the way you are, but you look in there, that's what you see. But what he is saying here, when you get this, it's going to enable you to do exceedingly abundantly above and to excel all that you need. All that you ask to think, but not according to physical languages. According to what? According to the power that works. What works? Physicality? No. Spirituality? Yes. The seeing? No. God saying? Yes. The venue of time? No. The essence of eternity? Yes. have God enable us to look beyond mm-hmm. what's around us. Your life is not about what's around you.
I hear you.
Hallelujah.
I hear you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Because all you're doing mm-hmm. is looking around, mm-hmm. and the grace gospel is about looking down instead of around. So thus we into spirituality.
Thank God. Amen. Thank God.
And it ends with, to him be glory to the ages. In other words, everything mm-hmm. in the ages glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And have already culminated in his glory.
Hallelujah.
Because the beginning and the ending is one. Not processes, not evolutions. It is. Whatever is, already is. And has been from eternity. Elder, read that fourth verse again, because we've said many things since then. Then we're going to go to the Greek. I'm going to do a little exegesis here, and then I'm causing a little time. But, oh, my God. God, help us to get a spiritual grip on things.
Amen.
Because when you think you have a physical grip on it, you don't.
You don't. That's it. Don't.
Read that again from the King James.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse.
Everybody got it, amen? All right. Read.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Okay, now let's go to the Greek, and we're going to read this. And for those that are watching and listening here at the Grace Gospel Church again, utilize the Greek interlinear simply because his feet are held closer to the fire. That is the preparer of this document. Because that Greek word is there, and he's supposed to put an English word under it, and if he vary, he has to at least put some footnote there. The other thing is, we exegete.
Amen.
Three, four methods. What are they? Historical. That means that what mm-hmm. to get to the bottom of things.
Yeah, our covenant.
The grace covenant. We're not intimidated by anybody that calls us Pauline. Because we know that the only in we are is Christ. And that this didn't come from Paul.
Right.
It came through Paul from Christ.
Hallelujah. That's right.
These are our marching orders.
Mm-hmm.
This is our covenant. When you look at the other covenants, you're not into the answers. You're into some of the questions. But to get to the answers, we're into our doctrine. The other thing is, we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation rather than Erasmus, even though I know Erasmus is the popular guy on the block. Go to our website and go into our lessons, and there's an icon there, and click on it, and it goes into pronunciations, and it gives you our reason as to why we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation. Now, with all of that said, take your interlineal. Elder, why don't you just read that one verse, because I see our time is clock is beating up.
Ephesians chapter 4, first verse, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Beseech, therefore,
I beg you. I implore you. Read. And you notice he uses the therefore. So he's drawing a conclusion from mm-hmm. the prior chapter. That's what he's doing. And he said, therefore, based upon what we've said in the prior chapter, therefore, the conclusion, I implore you, I beg you, what? Read.
Beseech, therefore, you, I, the prisoner, in Lord worthily.
In the Lord, in the Lord. I'm a prisoner in the Lord. I'm locked up in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And that's where you are, because that's where he placed you.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Read.
Beseech therefore in the Lord, walk worthy to walk.
Now you notice that Greek word there. Azios. Look at that. He has two bookmarks there in order to let you know that he's not saying worthy. There's no way you can walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy in the Lord. If grace got you there, there's no way you can use the word worthy in any sense. Worthily means in conviction and sincerity. Read.
Worthily to walk.
Stop.
Up.
You got, you fellas, get your pastor. Why? Because we can't begin to try to explicate or explain this without first coming up with the utterance. Here you got the base Greek word pepipartise. And there is a branch of study in theology called the doctrine of what?
Pepipartiology.
Means the way you live and the way you walk. So he's talking about live. What is that word? Give me the characters of that word.
Aorist, indicative, that means infinitive.
Aorist, infinitive. To have walked.
To have walked.
To have walked.
Aorist, infinitive.
In other words, what's to be molded, he has already molded. You got to set no mold. And many times when we're ministering, oh, that is boring. Because, you know, talk about stuff people can understand. And here the scriptures are telling you you can't understand except what?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, what gives you illumination.
Yes, right.
The things of God are what?
Spiritually
discerned. So if I'm going to speak strictly in terms of physicality, I'm not talking about the things of God. And so here Paul is speaking about living according to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody say according to God.
According to
God. So we're in the spirituality. We're into the unseen. We're into the same.
Thank God.
Our conviction, as has been previously determined by God with all of the errors and connotations that are in the antecedent chapter. Mm-hmm. All errors, errors.
Mm-hmm.
Already determined.
Already. Amen.
Everything in your life is already determined.
Everything.
Pastor, you're crazy. I'm going through this and all that. No, listen. Draw upon the word of God. And whatever it says, that's it.
Yeah.
And then you won't run into all of these inconsistencies.
Yeah.
You won't spend half your life frustrated.
Yeah. Come on,
you know God's people for long.
Yes.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
basket cases. I'm talking about God's people. We think the way the world thinks. We operate the world. Our whole premise, we talk their language. Went to physicalities. And many times what we see just annuls what God is saying. In our thoughts. And the Holy Spirit comes along and helps us. Causes us to make that adjustment.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Say, hey, what did God say about this thing?
Yeah.
So this is what he's saying in this verse, and get into the focus. To walk what?
To walk worthily.
To walk worthily of the calling.
Of the calling. You see, in the King James, they translated that vocation. The Greek word there is klesios. Calling. But I have no problem with you if you understand that your main function is his calling. You know, your vocation is your main function. You know that your so what's your vocation? That vocation, they're saying, what is your profession? What is your main job? What is your main, you know, we say avocation? That's like a hobby. Here, what is your calling? Who are you? Who are you? It's answered in what your calling is. So, well, I'm a father in time, in manifestation, yes. I'm a husband in time, in manifestation, yes. I'm a pastor in time, in manifestation, yes. But who are you? In time, everything is what? Temporary. In eternity, everything is what?
It is.
It is. That's who you are and where you are. So, who are you? I'm a member of the body of Christ. In essence, when your role as fatherhood is past, and the husband has passed, brother, sister, a lot of us can't get by this. Children. Do you know we're actually on loan to one another?
Absolutely.
And that's what's so hard when God comes and he receives his own. No, it's tough. I've been there, you know. A loss is a loss. Except in eternity, everything is gained.
Amen. That's it. Thank you. Everything.
Everything is gained.
That's right.
Where are you? Well, right now I'm sitting in church and it's 1 o'clock. It's about time for the pastor to stop. Where are you? Where are you? You in Christ, which places you in eternity. That's so hard for us to understand. That the essence of our existence is that we are in Him. That's where you really are.
Amen.
Who you really are is who you are in Christ.
Amen.
More than who you temporarily in conscious are in time. in a depraved body.
Yes.
All of this is going to pass. And I know some people, oh, we don't want to hear about this. No. No. Where are you? Let me ask this question. Then I guess I will have to just cut off this. You ought to shut down on me after an hour anyway. But where are you? Who are you? I'm a member of the body of Christ. Where are you? In eternity. Well, let's go into time. Where were you in 1840? Pastor, you are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't exist. Yes, you did.
And Christ.
Let's make it even more absurd to you. Where were you in 1240?
In Christ.
540.
In Christ.
3000 BC.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ. There was some who just like to take Ephesians 1 and 4 and 3 and 4 and just pitch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
Nope.
It's the language that we talk. Now, when we get to the grace covenant, this is our language. I end with this today. The grace covenant is your language.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Though it may seem weird and strange, antithetical to the language of time.
All right.
Eternal comprehension is your language.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Eternal viewing is your language.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Your calling is to dwell in Him, mm-hmm. in the knowledge of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish it up? Yeah, finish that. All right.
Of, in the Greek text, of which ye were called.
Mm-hmm. That you were called. That you, when were you called?
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Irish tense.
Sure it is. Sure is.
Now, in the King James, they said, are called, because they want to put it in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's Irish tense, right?
Absolutely.
You were called.
Mm-hmm.
When were you called? So you have dwelt. Amen. I always get to come back the next week. Amen. You are dwells.
Mm-hmm.
In the essence.
Mm-hmm.
Of your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Your calling is in Him, about Him. And this is why further in that chapter, when they talk about what the work of the church, the ministry of the church is, they talk about the edifying of the building of the body of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Yes,
Lord. That's your main gig.
Yes.
If I may use the vernacular.
It's the main.
We don't think of it. Many of us, unfortunately, think of it as a sideline. And we put God and His ministry and His word and the essence of in Him in a sideline category.
Yep.
In fact, sometimes we just forget about Him.
Mm-hmm.
We enter all seen. And so we think all seeing is all knowing. No, all saying is all knowing. God's saying.
God, yes.
And so we must come to learn that our walk, our lives, our calling, our concentration, our priority, our focus is in the essence of Christ.
Yes.
Oh, don't you just love it, Miss Boone?
Yes.
Give Him a praise.
Yes.
Don't you? Hey! He's great! Can you say He's great? Can you say He's great? Oh, give Him a magnificent grace, please.